Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Monday, March 19th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I have this thing called like pre-coffee voice and post-coffee voice, and I told myself I would never allow my listeners to hear me with pre-coffee voice after, you know, the last time I did it, which was a few weeks ago. You could actually even tell the difference between, you know, the way I talk pre-coffee and post-coffee. It's a big, big difference. And so I'm going to just take a sip of this sweet, delicious black gold right here and then continue on with the show. Today it's an Americano, which is espresso in hot water. It's watered down espresso. It's basically what it is. And it's delicious. I love it. Got a good show for you today. We're going to start with my guest appearance on Locked On NBA, which aired earlier today. And then in the second segment, I'm going to talk about those games against the Kings and the Suns. Good win over the Suns. And a lot of good things came from the Kings game, too. Just poor execution down the stretch. And then in the third segment, we're going to preview this game against the San Antonio Spurs with our depleted roster now without Omri Caspi as well. You can get this podcast wherever podcasts are available. That's iTunes, iOS, Google Play, Spotify, and LockedOnWarriors.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Twitter at Locked On Dubs. I'm also on Twitter at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. You can get in touch with me via email at AlikoCarter11 at gmail.com. That's A-L-I-K-O-Carter11 at gmail. I love to chop it up about hoops, so hit me up. You can also catch my media at Forbes.com. I write at the intersection of business, sports, and community impacts for the Sports Money blog at Forbes. And I've also been featured on Bleacher Report writing about the Warriors. Now that I've talked your ear off, here's my segment with Locked On NBA's Josh Lloyd, where we talk everything Warriors.
I'm joined now by the host of the Locked On Warriors podcast, Aliko Carter. Things were swimming along pretty nicely for Golden State, and then this last week or so, they've just been smashed with injuries to basically all of their stars, with Draymond Green missing time, and at the moment, they currently have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant all sidelined for multiple games. I guess the number one question we want to know here about the Golden State Warriors is this a concern with the playoffs, you know, 3 or 4 weeks away?
Yeah, I would say absolutely a concern, Josh. And I think they've thrown that number one seed out the window completely. It's not something that the team is really focused on anymore. And there's such a nice cushion between them and number three, Portland, even though Portland just handed us a couple of smashings over the last month, that they're not really too worried about falling farther than the number two spot. It's really about getting everybody healthy. Because, you know, at full strength, of course, they feel they can beat anyone. They've shown that over the last 2-3 years, they can beat anyone when they have a healthy roster. But, you know, Steph has been hurt in the playoffs in the past. It's hurt them. And so they're just really trying to get everybody on that 100% healthy and off the injury report.
They're almost 10 games ahead of Portland out of the third seed. So, with only 12 games left, they're pretty safe there. Like, they're not going, Portland's not going to win every game, and Golden State's not going to lose every game from here on out. So, they're pretty much locked into that two seed. The Rockets are going to get the one seed. But the question we have is these injuries. Which one is the more concerning? We've got Klay Thompson dealing with a thumb issue, Kevin Durant with the rib cartilage fracture, and Steph with about his 70th ankle tweak for the season. Which one is the more worrisome, or are they all worrisome in their own way?
Well, here's the thing. I would say Klay Thompson's is definitely the most worrisome because that injury is on his shooting hand. He says he's not too worried about it. His dad said that he broke his foot back in the day, rebounded pretty well. But, you know, what we need from Klay Thompson is to be insurance, you know, when people are crowding Stephen Curry and sometimes Kevin Durant, where they can't, he has to keep the defenses honest. And if his shooting is not what it was before, 45% on the year leading the league, then there's going to be a little bit more of a concern in the playoffs. I think second, you've got Kevin Durant's rib injury, cracked ribs, and he's going to have to come back. And, you know, that creates heavy breathing, and it's tough to pull up sometimes. And it's a very, very open area that, you know, can be, you know, poked and prodded and hit. And in the playoffs, that's when teams really key in on those kinds of strategies. And then I would say third is Stephen Curry's ankle injury, the umpteenth ankle tweak that he's had. I think what they're just really trying to do, since KD and Clay are out and everybody's been out, is they're just being very, very safe with Stephen Curry right now. I don't think that ankle injury is anything to worry about.
Steve Kerr said that maybe it would be a blessing in disguise with Klay Thompson, and just to have this time off, because we've seen him play, you know, and all these Warriors players play, you know, significant amount of games with the, you know, basically the additional season of action they've seen over the past three postseasons. And Klay has had some struggles through this season. He hasn't quite been the same player as last year. Had a few quieter moments in last year's playoffs. Do you subscribe to that theory that this time off could actually be a positive for him?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I've talked with him about this too, because, you know, he's big with ANTA in China, and the FIBA World Cup is going to be in China next year. They're trying to make the finals every single year. Like you said, that's an extra up to 28 games every single year. And Klay Thompson definitely needs the rest. He's been the Warriors' Iron Man along with Draymond Green. But Klay, really, before this season, had only missed about 8 games in his NBA career, 7-year NBA career. So he definitely could use the rest. I think that KD and Steph are a little bit more rested. They're itching to get out there and play, honestly. But they're not trying to, they being the Warriors brass, aren't trying to rush anybody out there. Like you said, that 2 seed is pretty much locked up. So, you know, they're just hoping that we can get everybody back on the right side. And the rest is definitely going to do everybody a bit of good.
What do we make of Quinn Cook, who stepped in Stephen Curry's absence? And over the last 3 games, he's averaging 22 points per game and shooting 63% from the field and doing his best to really impersonate Steph by, you know, knocking down tons of threes and doing it at an extremely high level. Now, of course, the efficiency is not going to stick at this level, but he is a player that, unless the Warriors convert him to a full-time contract, he's not going to be eligible in the playoffs. Do you think with the way that he has played here, he has pushed himself perhaps ahead of a guy like Pat McCaw as the third string point guard, and they will look to activate him in the playoffs somehow? Or is this just a role that's developed out of necessity and thanks for your time, but we won't be seeing him in April and May?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. I think 3 things here. First, I'll start with Pat McCaw. Pat McCaw is a much bigger and a longer, rangier player than Quinn Cook. He's much more useful on the defensive end. And when the playoffs slow the game down, I think you'll see a lot more of Pat McCaw once he gets healthy, because he just brings so much on the defensive end and can do everything that Quinn Cook can do on the offensive end. But Quinn Cook is a bit of a defensive liability sometimes. I think Cook, you know, 26 points per game in the G League for the C-Dubs. He's been playing extremely well. And they haven't game planned for Quinn Cook. Teams haven't game planned for Quinn Cook to get good footage of Quinn Cook, to watch the video. You've got to watch G League games. And then he's not actually playing with the Warriors that we see every day. So it's one of those things where it's a little bit of serendipity that he's out there cutting up defenses right now. I just don't think that they've been game planning for Quinn Cook as much as, you know, for a guy like Stephen Curry. But Quinn Cook is a great basketball player. I don't think, though, that they will go with him over Patrick McCaw.
It's been an interesting time for the Warriors this season. Their defense has been not at the level we've expected over the past couple of years. And everyone's always bemoaned the fact, you know, Kevin Durant going to Golden State, the season's over, why bother watching anything? Yeah, they're going to win the next 10 championships. And at this point, at more than any point in perhaps the last 3 seasons, they seem, you know, really vulnerable. The Rockets are playing at a high level. The Warriors' defense has slipped. They're losing games that they never usually lose. So it is really creating a ton of interest here, especially as we head into the playoffs. Aliko, you're going to be covering all of that for Locked On Warriors, and I'm sure you're hoping that they can regain some of that, at least defensive prowess, get their players back. And I guess one positive we can say is at least the injuries have happened now and they haven't happened in May.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, getting pounded twice by teams like Oklahoma City, teams like Portland, and the Denver Nuggets, you know, all teams that we have been dominant over in the past few seasons. It's definitely opened some eyes in Oakland. And, you know, health is the number one concern. Obviously, like I said, if the team is fully healthy, they believe they can go out there and beat anyone. And remember, we've been dealing with injuries. The Warriors have been dealing with injuries for the entire season. Steph Curry missed a full month. KD has been in and out of the lineup. Draymond has a mysterious shoulder injury that continues to keep him out of the occasional game. And so, but 2 years ago, this team went 73-9. Without Kevin Durant and peaked in March. And clearly they didn't peak in March this year. They're looking to peak in May. And that is, you know, contingent on health. It's contingent on, you know, Steve Kerr coming up with the right combinations, rotations to face these teams. I mean, you know, it's a gauntlet in the Western Conference this year, but the Warriors still seem to have more talent when healthy than all the other teams. And that's what they're going to be banking on.
All right, we look forward to seeing all of this play out over the next couple of months, and we'll all be tuned into Locked On Warriors to hear your perspective. That is Aliko Carter of the Locked On Warriors podcast. Aliko, thanks for jumping on Locked On NBA.
Thank you, Josh.
You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where the local experts meet the biggest stories. And we're back, and it's time to talk about these two games over the weekend, which were both entertaining games despite the absences of Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Stephen Curry. Thanks in part to Draymond Green, who showcased parts of his game we haven't seen in a really long time. In the first game, he struggled from the field, 5 of 14, and 3 of 9 from 3, including two clunkers near the end, one early in the shot clock that really we would have wanted him to take, like Fitz said, at the end of the the play after all other options were exhausted. You know, some poor decision making and late game execution against the Kings, definitely. But he had 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 stocks at steals plus blocks to go along with his 4 turnovers. In the game against the Phoenix Suns, though, my goodness, 10 of 20 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 25 big points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, a block, only 3 turnovers, and 2 of those rebounds were offensive. So just a great, great all-around game from Draymond Green, you know, and he was much more, he was a little bit more controlled. Great play from Quinn Cook as well. I do want to highlight what Quinn Cook has done in his last few games, just because I know I said there's, it's very unlikely that he would supplant Patrick McCaw as the, you know, third string point guard or, you know, in the rotation generally, just because McCaw is a more well-rounded player and can play defense the way the Warriors need defense played. But 11 of 17 in this game against the Suns and 28 points. He was 5 of 7 from 3, 5 of 7 from 3 in the previous game as well. And did a little bit of everything. Rebounded the ball well for his size. You know, assisted the ball. He swiped a number of passes, 5 total over the 2 games. And he doesn't foul, you know. He doesn't turn the ball over. He played 40 minutes in each of those 2 games. 40 minutes. That's more than what Steve Kerr likes to play anyone. But he is trusting Quinn Cook with those minutes, and Quinn Cook is delivering. He's been an absolute revelation over the last 3 games. And, you know, now that he's rounded into kind of NBA shape, we should be able to rely on him until Stephen Curry is healthy to run the offense, to be out there and be confident and just play his game. And like I said in the first segment, his game, the defenses are not prepared for his game. They didn't game plan for Quinn Cook. And so he needs to take advantage of that as long as that's an option for him and keep scoring the ball. Few players I want to highlight on the opposing teams. First, the Kings, De'Aaron Fox was all right, but Bogdan Bogdanovic was pretty good, 11 points. And Buddy Hield had a very good game, playing mostly against Quinn Cook, and you know he gives up a lot of height to Buddy Hield. So 22 points for him, 5 of 10 from 3. He was confident shooting them. 7 rebounds, 7 assists. he did have four turnovers, but like when you have a game like that against a team like the Warriors, it shows that maybe the Kings and Dave Joerger have found something that, you know, a really important piece going forward for them. Also, Scalabissiere had a few very important offensive rebounds, five offensive rebounds for Kosta Koufos, along with seven defensive, and Scal had three assists to go along with his 15 points. So big minutes from their two big guys off the bench, and very important minutes down the stretch. The Warriors just, Draymond Green in particular, just made some, you know, puzzling decisions in the last minute, 2 minutes of the game that really let the game slip away. You know, it's, they're going to be tough games like this with the roster depleted as it is. And we just have to, you know, hope that the Warriors make very good decisions with the ball down the stretch, because that's how you negate the relative lack of talent that the Warriors have on the floor compared with what a normal lineup would look like. They did execute down the stretch against the Suns. Draymond had a much better game overall than he did against the Kings, and Nick Young played out of his mind in addition to Quinn Cook coming out firing. So three players with 20-plus points in this game, and Nick Young was a plus 29 in 41 minutes and 38 seconds. It's very rare that you're going to see a box score that has Nick Young at a plus 29. So he should really frame this one. That's pretty epic, considering he was only 3 of 9 from 3, but 7 of 15 from the field with 7 total rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and only 1 turnover in 41 minutes. He earned that playing time. That was really, really good for him. Draymond Green, in his normal 34 minutes, had 25 big points, as I mentioned, and Quinn Cook with 28 on 11 of 17 from the field. This game was closer than the final score indicates, and a lot of that was Josh Jackson. 36 minutes off the bench for the Phoenix Suns, 2 of 4 from 3. He took 23 field goals and was just feeling it. 14 of 23 from the field with 36 points. The game of Josh Jackson's life. And he was being played very well by the Warriors. I will say, like, the defense was not bad in this game. It's what allowed them to sprint ahead in the final frame. Few other quick notes. It's nice to see Jordan Bell and David West on the court. Kevon Looney had a block party. Sean Livingston is looking like he's 10 years younger. And sorry, JaVale, your reign as the number one big man on the Warriors is over. But we love you. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Let's talk sponsorships, people. Locked On Warriors is listened to by a connected audience, and podcasts are where smart advertisers are going to get their products to the public. If you're interested in learning more about sponsoring a Locked On Warriors podcast, get at me via email at illegalcarter11@gmail.com. Our rates are super reasonable, and I'll give you all the details. And we're back in just enough time for a quick trip forward to tonight's game against the San Antonio Spurs. And first, let's take a look at the injury report. Of course, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, and Klay Thompson are all out until the end of March or thereabouts. Omri Caspi has a right ankle sprain and will not play. Quinn Cook is expected to play despite a right hand contusion. Andre Iguodala is expected to play despite a left shoulder contusion. Kevon Looney is battling a jaw contusion. He got busted up, and he is likely to play. Patrick McCaw recuperated from a fracture in his left wrist and will likely return tonight against the Spurs. Very exciting news. Zaza Pachulia has a right shoulder contusion but is expected to be in the lineup. That's a lot of names. Not to mention Jordan Bell and Draymond Green, who've battled injuries as of late. Tough to see Caspi roll his ankle again. He was playing so well up to that point, and I really just have high hopes for him being on the roster going forward. I just like what he brings to the team. I like the way that he moves without the ball. I like the way that he plays defense. I like the passes and reads that he makes. He sees the game. One matchup I'm looking forward to is Sean Livingston versus Tony Parker. The battle of crafty point guards off the bench should be really, really exciting. And DeJounte Murray is going to have his hands full with Quinn Cook, who is, you know, as we've talked about, just on fire lately. You know, this game is going to be really about Draymond Green versus LaMarcus Aldridge. Draymond is going to have to win that matchup. Last time out, LaMarcus had 30 and 17. Draymond is going to have to win that matchup this time out and just not allow LaMarcus to have his way on the boards and get in his office and feel comfortable. Draymond knows that. He's been watching the tape. You know he has. And he's ready. And not only that, but we're seeing from Draymond an expansion of his responsibilities and therefore an expansion of his game. So he's out there shooting threes. He's taking 20 shots in a game like he did last time. And we're going to need that Draymond to direct traffic and make things happen. He's also assisting the ball extremely well. 7 assists in the first game, 8 assists in the second game since his return. And rebounding, he's going to have to be a bruiser down low and rebound the ball, along with Zaza Pachulia, David West, Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, and whoever gets out there. They have to rebound the ball. Kudos to Quinn Cook and Nick Young, who are rebounding the ball very well from the guard position right now. Continue to do that. They also need to run people off the line just a little better than they did in the last two games against the Kings and Suns, respectively. They were good enough to win running people off the line both games, and obviously very close to winning that first game and ran away in the second. But against this Spurs team, you can't let them get open three-pointers. You can't let them get open corner three-pointers, and you have to guard them sometimes out to, 28 feet. They'll shoot from out there. They'll make it. Patty Mills can make those shots. Danny Green can make those shots. And all they need is a spark, really, to get going. Some other very good three-point shooters on this team as well. But points in the paint is also going to be an issue, especially with LaMarcus Aldridge and how he had his way last time. Pau Gasol is healthy. He will be out there running, but not in the starting lineup. The starting lineup of LaMarcus Aldridge, Danny Green, Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, and Kyle Anderson just pounded the Minnesota Timberwolves 117-101 in their last game. They're now tied with the Timberwolves at 40-30, fighting for playoff positioning and getting a big win in doing so. And that lineup is scary because of the passing. They can carve up a defense with their passing, get the ball exactly where they want to go, and then they bring Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, and Rudy Gay, and Manu Ginobili off the bench. Man, that's a pretty good team without Kawhi Leonard, honestly. It's a team that I would be, wary of, and we should be wary of. It's full of craft. It's full of chemistry, and they know how to play the game of basketball. That's about as much time as we have today. Some good games on the docket tonight. You've got Bucks at Cavs on ESPN at 4 Pacific. Nuggets Heat at 7:30 Eastern. That's 4:30 Pacific on League Pass. Of course, the Warriors and Spurs will be on ESPN tonight. Tune in tomorrow where I will be recapping this game against the Spurs. I'll have a second stab in my Warrior of the Week segment with Quinn Cook. And then I'm going to go around the NBA and maybe take a look at what's happening in the tournament as well. Just finished my Americano and it's time to take on the rest of the day. Enjoy tonight's basketball and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.